I really love this team. I really love the amount of work they put in, the way they interact with each other, the communication with each other. You know, we're going to have a bunch of guys going out there giving everything they have on every single play.
I think we're going to surprise a lot of people in all facets of the game, and run defense being one of them. If the team takes their role seriously, is accountable, there's a lot of guys, a lot of hungry guys in the locker room who are looking forward to making big plays on Sunday.
Every year is a new year. I think every team's a new team. I don't think years past really have anything to do with like this current season. So I'm excited for the opportunity that we have. I think we have a lot of guys that can make plays.
I don't have the opportunity to go through a rebuild, right? I mean, we all know that. So that's being realistic. So we've got to go out there and win games, and I'm confident that this football team will be able to do that.
Personally, when I'm all in, I'm all in. The Jacksonville Jaguars took a chance on me, picking me up at 7. So I knew once then I'm gonna do my all just to bring that standard back high and bring this team success. And that's just something I pride myself on. Just having an opportunity for this team to come pick you up is a blessing and all. So I'm gonna try to put everything I can to this organization to give higher standards. I want the city to know that they have a guy that's passionate about this team, that's passionate about this city, and that's passionate by all these teammates, coaches, and everybody included.
1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Mike DeRocco.
Come on, D-Rock!
All right, good morning, everybody. Welcome into the 1010XL dance party led by E.T. Does free breakfast make you that happy every single week?
He was not happy last week,
no,
was
he? No, he wasn't.
He was depressed.
But Thursdays just get me like that, man. But especially when the breakfast is on D-Rock. You know, it's good when it's on Tony Smith. It's even better when it's on Mike Dempsey. But when it's on D-Rock, ooh, this is Grover. Come on, somebody.
That's fantastic. Because I deliver when I have to buy, I deliver my breakfast with respect and love.
And juice.
And juice, which is important for my. But these other guys, they deliver it out of spite, E. I have respect and admiration for all of you guys.
I have threatened to poison at least one of you every time I have to buy breakfast. There is no question.
I appreciate that with your last place as. I appreciate that.
Well, last place last week, but first place overall.
Overall, this is true.
In the breakfast bowl, which is ultimately what's going to matter at the end of the year. We'll see if he can hang on. All right. By the way, you guys, Tony, you're all right with the fruit bowl? Because I think I've started the thing here. D-Rock got me a fruit bowl so I'd be healthy one day. And and now it seems like everybody's getting the fruit bowl. Are you okay with that?
No, I'm fine.
All right.
It's nutritious and delicious.
I understand. I think it is.
I mean, I prefer fried chicken, but
we went through fruit bowl. I mean, last year we ate a lot of breakfast biscuits.
Yeah.
You know, chicken biscuits were all the rage with hash browns.
I single-handedly, I think, kept the Chick-fil-A just down the road here.
Absolutely.
In business.
We all did. It was an easy, convenient stop on the way in, but now we're going the fruit bowl direction. All right, happy Thursday, everybody. We'll hear from a bunch of Jags today, including Doug Marrone, Jake Gruden, Jake Luton, Keelan Cole, and we'll have breakfast bowl for week 11, our fantasy draft coming up later on in the show as well. We'll talk Jags and Steelers. D-Rock.
Heyo.
What are the quarterback storylines you're watching here? Like, how firm? Jake Luton obviously starting this week. Gardner's not going to play this week. Where are you after his performance last week, and where do you think, more importantly, the team is in terms of his hold on the job?
I think it's his job the rest of the way.
You do?
I do.
Okay, barring something crazy.
Barring an injury to him, yes.
Or like a 5-interception meltdown kind of performance.
Right, which I don't expect to see.
No, I'm not anticipating that either.
I think it's his job the rest of the way. They want to see what they have in this kid.
Yeah.
We thought that was going to happen eventually, but we probably didn't think it was going to be this early.
It might be two or three games at the end of the year that he'd get, they get a peek at.
His numbers weren't phenomenal last week, so I think a lot of people look at it and go, well, he took a step back. I don't necessarily see it that way, because the things that you are looking at, he's still pretty poised and calm in the pocket. He's still pretty accurate for the most part. He's coming off that first receiver and finding the next guy or the third guy, and that was, not a bad place to, not an easy place to play either. And he had some, some issues with some pass protection there late in the game, especially. But I mean, he didn't get flustered. Now, I don't necessarily think that you look at him and say, "Ooh, that was bad. We got to go back to Gardner the moment he's healthy."
Yeah, I think it was a difficult place to play because of the weather conditions. I mean, with no fans, I don't know how more difficult it is playing. Other than you've got to make a road trip somewhere, you got to play
a bad
football
defense.
Team.
I mean,
no, right? Yeah, but right. They would be tough on any.
Correct.
Like the environment
Correct. To me.
Was made difficult by the wind.
The wind and some rain a little bit too as well, right?
Yeah,
and
look, we're not, end, you, yeah. Got, you got to play in the elements. You know, right. I'm not trying to make
but
wholesale
excuses. But it
excuses
was pretty smart
Luton.
On Doug's part that I don't know that we talked about this, but, I mean, they won the toss, they deferred, and they set it up so they'd have the wind in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
Which, you know, generally you don't think about that kind of stuff, but I thought that was a pretty – because I didn't understand at first they deferred and gave Aaron Rodgers the ball? What
yeah.
the – you know, I mean, so they ended up, you know, in – turned out to be the right decision, pretty much. So
yeah, no, it did. And you saw the immediate impact, I thought. We talked about this a couple of times this week. As soon as the field flipped and Green Bay got the wind in the second quarter, that's when Rodgers goes deep,
right?
You know, to MVS. So, you know, little subtleties of the game. They played well, played better, yeah. certainly, but not well enough to win.
Very physical. I thought that was the most physical they had been on defense all year. And they better bring that again this week, because this is an even better offense than what they faced.
Better bring
week.
It on both sides. Got to have their best offensive line game of the season against the Pittsburgh front seven this week. Jags have had success historically against the Steelers, but does that mean anything this Sunday? I'm inclined to think no. But the question mm-hmm. of the day out there, particularly for you fans who've been fans for a little while and have a little bit of memory to draw upon, what are your three favorite moments or memories from the Jaguars-Steelers series over the years, the team originally that Tom Coughlin designed the franchise to beat, to take down in the AFC Central, and ultimately they did. It didn't take long and went back and forth, and still to this day I think there's a good rivalry between the two teams. I don't know how Pittsburgh feels about it. I would imagine they, though, Tony, feel somewhat that it's a rivalry when you consider the Jags are the only team to go into Pittsburgh and get them twice in the same season. They beat them in the playoffs as recently as 2017. So the Jags have had some of their moments probably stick in Steeler fans' memories.
I would think they would. Yeah, I know earlier during the offseason there was I saw a Pittsburgh fan thread that was asked about what player – not of the Steelers, like from a non, like just a player from another team, bugs you more than any other player in like recent memory. And the answers, a lot of them were Rasheen Mathis and Fred Taylor.
Yeah.
Like a lot of Steelers fans, they have no reason for the, like, except that they beat them.
Rasheen owned them in 2007.
Yeah. Like it got under their skin up there in Pittsburgh a little bit. Like I'm watching Steelers fans react to the Jaguars official Twitter yesterday, putting out the welcome to the Teal City with the picture of the bridge going to the stadium yesterday. And like I'm watching Steelers fans going, are they trolling us? Are they seriously trolling the Teal City with the picture of a bridge right now? And it's like, well, they might be. We have bridges here too.
We got seven of them, baby.
Yeah, we do wear teal. So yeah, they're probably. I mean, knowing the Jaguars and their social media prowess, like
yes.
I'm guessing they probably were poking the bear a little bit with that post.
That
as
always
well.
Works well, by the
well,
way.
Well, what? Yeah. What are they going to play harder because the Jaguars Twitter yeah. feed said something? I mean, I don't.
I mean, we had our mascot one time have towels have Ebola. Like we've done these kind of things before.
He better not show up on Sunday with towels carry or towels have COVID. He
oh,
better
no.
not.
Oh, no. There won't
he
be
better
any
not.
That. There won't be any of that kind of nonsense going on, I don't think. But, yeah, I mean, I think for Jacksonville, it still was a rivalry. Tennessee has overtaken it, especially for, you know, the second generation of Jaguars fans. Right? I think first generation, it probably was Pittsburgh, especially early on.
Oh, yeah.
And then after 1999, it's been all about the Tennessee Titans and will be until they win a big one against them at some point.
It's funny to me, because in this rivalry with the Steelers, did the Jaguars have handed Steelers fans heartbreak?
Absolutely.
Okay, but have the Steelers handed Jaguars fans heartbreak? Like, I don't feel like there's any heartbreak on this side of it.
No, they're 12-12 in the regular season. Jags are 2-0 in the playoffs against Pittsburgh.
Right.
So the only two that matter, the Jaguars have won. And both of those came in seasons where they had already beaten them in Pittsburgh
right.
that year.
Only team, I think, in the NFL to ever beat the Steelers twice. in Pittsburgh in the same year.
By the way, the Steeler fans already, they're so easily triggered. I mean, seriously, toughen up, you little sorry Steeler fans. Man, you'd think with all those championships, you would have built up a little bit of psychic armor around yourselves. But it's one of our first responses. It's nothing bad. It's Scott says, number one, Fournette waving on Mike Mitchell might be my favorite of all time.
That's pretty good.
That's a good one.
Pretty funny.
Beating the Steelers for the first home victory in franchise history. And number three, Fred Taylor's 234-yard rushing performance, right?
Yeah.
Not taking any great shots.
No.
Reply from Lance, who's got a little Steeler emblem as his avatar. What about that time they won a Super Bowl? And then pictures of crickets. Like,
Lance, oh, you got us.
Yeah, whoop-de-doo. You
boom.
Know, didn't ask about that because, yeah, we're aware we haven't won a Super Bowl. We still whipped your ass in those playoffs, didn't we? That's right.
If I were a Steeler fan, I'd be more upset that we lost a game in Pittsburgh in the postseason when Blake Bortles hit Tommy Bohannon
for
a go-ahead touchdown. I'd be more pissed off about that than Fred Taylor, one of the best backs in NFL history, going for 230 in my building.
Blake Bortles beat you.
That would be what would make me more angry than...
That's a comeback. You got to have at least 14 rings to fend that one off, all right? You got work to do. All right. Today, that is our question of the day. Your three favorite moments or memories from the Jaguars-Steelers series over the years. We'll hear from a number of Jaguars on the offensive side of the ball. We'll do defense tomorrow with Tony Smith, with D-Rock, with ET. I'm Mike Dempsey. Breakfast Bowl coming up later on. You can get on board on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony, at ESPN DeRocco, and at IME to the T.
Yeah.
641-1010 on the phone lines or the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Jaguars today on 1010XL at 92.5 FM.
No, yeah, I remember it. I remember the catch. Yeah, I mean, similar to the talks we had last week, you know, growing up watching Big Ben. Obviously a big fan, a lot of respect for him, and yeah, grew up watching him.
Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I assume he's referring to Santonio Holmes' Super Bowl touchdown catch. Is that what Jake Luton's talking about there? I remember the catch.
Yeah, I would guess that's it. Yeah.
Right.
The catch that still is.
He's not talking about the immaculate reception. I know that.
Good point.
Is that catch still in question? You know,
which one?
Santonio's. You know, was his feet down?
I thought it was close enough. You know that I remember what there was like a. They probably replayed it a billion times, right? I don't know. I don't think it's like one of those. I'm sure somebody. I'm sure the Cardinals question it.
Maybe,
Cardinals fan base is like they got T-shirts. Santonio Holmes wasn't down in bounds, in parentheses. That could be the case. I don't know. I haven't thought much about it since then. So, still the craziest play. That James Harrison play is the craziest play.
That's the one I'd be more mad about if I were the Cardinals.
Honestly, it's great. It might be the craziest play in NFL history. Just, and it seemed like there were 16 different opportunities. Just shove him out of bounds. Just push him. Just a little nudge is all it's going to take. And he kept going and going, and like 103 yards later. No time left in the first half. What the hell, man? Unbelievable. All right, let's get into it. Jake Luton getting ready to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. How would you describe Luton, D-Rock, when you're on these calls with him? I think he's kind of pretty much no-nonsense, matter-of-fact. He, you know, just kind of I think he just wants to kind of like take care of it and move on to the next thing.
Not animated, doesn't dislike doing it, but doesn't really seem to, like, really enjoy the repartee.
Like Gardner Minshew had fun with it and embraced it and the whole thing. And that's fine. Look, it doesn't matter.
I've been trying to get the Jags to get him to call Gary Terry, but it's just not going to happen.
No?
Apparently. he would have been a freaking legend if he'd have walked in there
the first time
and called him Terry. I can't get that done, so that's a failing on my part. No, I mean, I think I don't want to say he's overwhelmed, but there is a lot of stuff that goes into being a starting quarterback in the NFL and getting ready during the week. And for a guy who's never done it, it's probably a little bit daunting. And this is just one of those things, and it's like, if I can just get through this, then I can get back in there, hit the film room, maybe I got a meeting, whatever, get my workout in, whatever. I think that's kind of – but he answers all the questions. He's a solid kid. No issues with the way he acts and those things, so good for him.
Well, let's hear some brief comments from him because that's what he basically gets.
They all are brief.
They're all pretty brief, but let's hear what he had to say, beginning with how he views the Pittsburgh Steeler franchise from the outside?
Growing up, I always kind of viewed them as kind of, the blue-collar, hard-working, physical team. I think that kind of still stands. It's kind of what they stand for. And like I said, a great organization that, I think everybody has a lot of respect for.
No doubt about that. I mean, it is one of the standard bearers for the National Football League. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers coming to town on Sunday. And Jake Luton was asked about trying to prepare for that blue-collar defense, which certainly brings it. And you'll see pressure coming from all over the place if you're Jake Luton.
They get paid to game plan, too. They're going to bring some stuff and try to get home. And we'll just have to be ready, have to adjust, have to prepare, and be ready for whatever looks they give us.
All right. Does Jake Luton feel more confident, going into his third NFL start?
Definitely. I think, going into my third week, getting to get out there and play, I feel more and more confident every day that I get to go out to practice. Every day I get to step on the field on Sunday. And so this week will be no different. Continue to build confidence and put good stuff on tape and try to put my team in position to go win.
All right, let's hear what offense coordinator Jake Gruden said about this. He basically raved about him after his first game against Houston. Very good debut. And he was asked, after last week's performance, two games under his belt, is Jake Luton ready for what the Steelers are going to bring?
Well, I think so. I think you got to be. He started off his career already against Houston, a rivalry of this franchise, and he had to go up to Green Bay and face Aaron Rodgers in horrible windy conditions for a quarterback. So now he just got to face the 9-0, 10-0 Steelers. So it'll be a great challenge for him, but I know he's going to be ready to go. And I think it's very important for our entire offense to understand this challenge and really raise their game up, hopefully to a level we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, I'm sure he's just thrilled to be getting out of the breeze. Let's take Luton. We talked to Mark Brunell about it on Tuesday when he joined us. Just asked him, what is your least favorite conditions to play a football game in? And he said, wind. Without hesitation, it's wind. I don't mind snow. I don't mind rain. I don't mind hail. I don't mind any of that. Just don't
hail
put me
would
in
be tough.
Just
I think
don't
hail
put me in
tough.
A strong wind, basically. And that's what I mean. It just affects these guys throwing the ball more than any of these other conditions.
You could make the right read, and you could put enough mustard on it that you think it's going to get there, and then you get a bad gust, and the next thing you know, it's a pick six. I mean, they just want to be able to control as much as they possibly can. And in the wind, you can't.
In the rain or the snow, they say the offense has the advantage because they know where they're going. And you still got to try to cover those guys. So maybe not as easy to execute, but if the other team's having even more difficulty, you can understand why that wind is the one that gets them.
No doubt. And Green Bay looked like it was throwing some banana peels out there at times. During the game against the Jags on Sunday affected things as well. But Jake Luton was asked about what he feels like he needs to do on Sunday against the Steelers.
I think you got to stick to your game. I think you can't get too caught up in trying to get the ball out too quick or forcing things or pressing yourself. I think you got to stick to the game plan. We're going to go through it this week and prepare really well. And coaches will put a good game plan together. And we're going to try to stick to it. Sacks happen, tackles happen. All those things happen. That's football. And it's all about playing the next play and sticking to our game plan.
Do you feel, D-Rock, more or less confident for the Jaguars this week? Their chances to be competitive for four quarters? I'm not suggesting any of us are going to predict them to win the football game, but like last week, I didn't think it would be much of a game at all. And
nobody did.
Right. They went now, the weather played a role in that, but I thought defensively they did some good things, particularly against the run. James Conner has been struggling, but Pittsburgh has so many guys they can throw to offensively.
That's the problem. And that front seven on defense is really, really good. So I think they'll be competitive. I think they'll fly around like they did last week. But I don't know that they'll stay close like they did against
the
Packers.
Right, till at some point in the fourth quarter be within one score.
Right, because the Steelers are really, really talented. I mean, and they've got what? Juju and Deontay and Claypool, how do you stop?
Eric Ebron.
Yeah, and Ebron. I mean, how do you stop
James Washington, who led the team in receiving last year.
And oh, by the way, they don't get a lot of pressure on the quarterback anyway, and if you give Roethlisberger enough time, he's going to sit back there and you're in deep, deep trouble. So I think they'll play hard. I don't think if they get blown out, it won't be because they've given up or they quit on Doug or anything like that. I just think the Steelers are really, really good, and this team has got some issues.
Yeah,
so.
They took Cincinnati apart last week, and I wonder if there's been enough talk about this being the trap game. You know, Mike Tomlin weighing in on it, that it has to be on the radar. Like, okay, you know, like let's make sure we take care of business. We saw what happened last week. I know they have Baltimore coming up, you know, what is it, Thursday night next week?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's a short turnaround for them. And obviously that's one of the biggest games of their season, but I don't think they're going to overlook this game.
No, I wouldn't expect them to. And you know, but if you're looking at the series and you want to go back and say, well, you know, the Jags have really played the Steelers tough traditionally, and they have, but again, you mentioned it earlier. I mean, last year doesn't matter on anything this year.
It's an odd thing, though, because they – perennially do play them tough.
Yeah.
No matter the personnel, the front office, the coaching staff, all the turnover, and it just seems there's something institutional about the rivalry that, or at least the matchups that make them typically competitive.
Well, if I'm Miles Jack and at any point Ben Roethlisberger gets out and starts running, you got to lay him out after what happened here in 2018. You guys let him scramble for a game-winning touchdown. Ben Roethlisberger, who is not exactly Lamar Jackson or anybody that can move, somehow managed to scrape his big old butt across the goal line for a touchdown.
He used to be able to move pretty well.
He did when he was younger, absolutely. Yeah. But, I mean, he's not – is he 30?
Probably 38, I'm guessing.
Oh, my gosh. That is old. He came in the league in 03 or 04. So, yeah, he's probably 36, 37.
My back says that's young like a spring chicken. All right, my 51-year-old back. Let's get Dave in New Jersey in here quickly before we hit the bottom of the hour. Dave, you're on Jaguars Today. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Hey, I was just calling about the question of the day real quick. I don't know. For the three favorite moments. I'm 31, so I'm a little bit younger. That's my baby. Hold on, Paris. My three favorite moments are no particular order, I guess. I'll just name the three. The 2007, we beat the Pittsburgh. I was in high school. I was actually playing, you know, in my year, even I was back then. I was rooting for it. I was so happy to do this. I hate this for this. We lost to the, you know, obviously lost to Pitts after. The one after that, I would probably go with when we beat them in the playoffs again, when Blake beat them. Yeah, when Blake Borders beat them that time. And then the other one was the 5-interception when the year after. When that was like our defense, just kind of like, for me, I love that defense. I love that defense. It's like that team, so. That was one of the last great games they had together. And that's it, because my baby ain't going to have me.
All right, tell Paris we said hello there, Dave. Thank you for the call.
That game was actually earlier in the year.
Yeah, it was. Earlier
in
2017, right.
20-9 when Leonard went, what, 90?
Mm-hmm. Right, and that's when he called Mike Mitchell over for a little piece, right? And he also, Ben Roethlisberger talked about probably needing to retire.
Maybe I should retire.
Yeah, I don't have it anymore.
Yeah.
Don't have it anymore. That's it, Ben. He was, you know, tongue in cheek, but we're glad you stuck around at least for the playoff game.
17 was so much fun.
It really was. It really was. All right, we'll come back on the other side. Let's hear a little bit more from Jake Luton's offensive coordinator, Jay Gruden, and Keelan Cole. We talked, Tony, a lot about some of these Jaguars with expiring contracts, like Cam Robinson, Sidney Jones becoming an interesting player here, and Keelan Cole. On whether or not the Jags should want to retain them. What does Keelan Cole say about wanting to stay in Jacksonville? You'll hear on the other side. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, D-Rock, and E.T. on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Mike Tomlin, you know, has done a really good job. The one thing that shows out on film is not only do they have, you know, really good players, it's just the effort that they're playing with is outstanding. I mean, it's unbelievable. So, you know, they'll come down here. They'll be ready to go. You know, they got a lot at stake.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
You know, that's part of it, too. You're undefeated. They're off to the best start in franchise history. And
it's a pretty good franchise, too, by the way.
Right? And I thought about that, but, you know, you look back in that era in the 1970s, they're probably just a lot more really elite teams in the conference. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Roethlisberger. They went 15-1 or whatever his rookie year.
His rookie year, right. Yeah. He kind of was a game manager.
Was that the year? Yeah, that's the year the Super Bowl was here, right? February of 2005? Yeah.
They didn't go to the Super Bowl that
year. No. They lost. New England beat them, yeah. New England beat them in the
Yes, they did. That's right, because I remember the Super Bowl, they won the Super Bowl in Detroit the next year, which was the one. That's the only one I've missed since Super Bowl 39 was here in Jacksonville. Didn't go to Detroit to cover that, and we've gone ever since until this year. COVID. COVID in the Motor City. Apparently, I'm not down with those things. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. You know, it's just one of those deals, man. I think because right after that, Tone, right, I want to say it was like Miami and Tampa, like the next 2 years. It was really convenient to go in for the Super Bowl 41 and 42. And I think that's what got us started on the roll at that point in time. All right. But that is like if you're Pittsburgh, I'm sure you're well aware. Hey, you know what? I don't know if it's something that's a big talking point. I'm sure it's not with the coaching staff, but if I'm a player, I know I'm 9-0, and you know we're undefeated. We're not going to let this team beat us because we didn't show up with our best effort.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I don't think I just if you're looking for reasons why the Steelers may overlook the Jags, I think there are a lot of reasons why they wouldn't overlook
them. Well, you know, like the Patriots used to never get caught up in that. And I feel like the Steelers would be the same way. I mean, they're such well-run organizations that's not going to be – like trap games, yeah, we all talk about it, but I just don't know that would be something that would ever enter into play here with the Steelers in any situation. Like last week could have been a trap game too. Like, look, rookie quarterback, it's the Bengals, they stink.
Then 2 weeks ago against Dallas, you know, you can look at how poorly Dallas had been playing, and they're playing with Garrett Gilbert at quarterback, and – I don't know. I'm not saying it was because it's a trap game. Sometimes teams just don't play as well on a given Sunday. Right. And I guess that's it. If the Steelers don't play well, a lot of the national narrative would be, well, they just took them for granted. You know, and I don't necessarily buy that. There's enough institutional carryover from just the 2017 season alone when the Jags swept them that I'm sure they want to go down and – you know, they know what the Jags' record is against them. They know how tough they play them every time out.
Yeah. I would think that, you know, looking at this game, it would be easy to kind of fall into that. You got a quarterback making just his third start ever.
Sure.
Sixth-round kid, just like, you know, Minshew was last year, obviously. But I don't – like you said, if they don't play well, it won't be because they didn't take this game seriously.
Right. But that may not be what you read.
Correct.
No, and my guess would be – for a Steelers team that has played the way they have the last month, they took care of Cincinnati. But they have been giving up a ton on the ground. Like, they are getting lapped on the ground game right now in Pittsburgh. Now, they found ways to overcome it. They forced turnovers like crazy. They needed all four of them against Baltimore to win that game 3 weeks ago. It's not like this is a Steelers team that is rolling through teams to get to this point at 9-0. They were down two scores against Dallas on the road 2 weeks ago. That's a bad Dallas team, as we all know. Might be one of the handful of teams in the league that might actually be worse than Jacksonville, right? They were down two scores against that football team just 2 weeks ago. They've given up 265, 144, 139 on the ground. And here comes James Robinson, right? Like, I think that is enough to get that defense's attention. The offense, they got to figure out what to do on the ground at some point in Pittsburgh, because they are getting chewed up in that part of the game right now.
Well, what you're talking about is the reason why it's so hard to go unbeaten and so hard to go winless in the league. Because it's 16 weeks. It's grueling. They're not up for every game, every week. You get a couple of turnovers here and there. That's why I'm convinced the Jets are going to win a game, at least a game, somewhere between now and the end of the season. Maybe two.
Maybe this week. Chargers blow one every week, right? I mean, they do.
They really do. They have trouble in the fourth quarter. We thought Atlanta had trouble in the fourth quarter early in the season. The Chargers are really ridiculous. Bad.
Oh, I mean, they have teams beat down, and then it's like, what happened? And the defense stops playing, or I don't know what exactly. I haven't been able to watch all their games, but they've collapsed seemingly every week. Herbert goes out there, puts up huge numbers, throws it all over the place. They usually have a lead, and then they usually don't at the end of the game.
Yeah.
This is how it's been.
Yeah, and it would be remarkable for Pittsburgh. Look, we've seen the Patriots win 16-0, you know, 15 years ago almost now. It's for in a year with COVID to be doing what Pittsburgh is doing, where their bye week got switched to week 3, and they know there's no time off coming. Like, it's done. They know they're playing. You know, the last 13 weeks of the season, we don't get a break. You got Thanksgiving coming up with a short week with Baltimore. For Pittsburgh to have accomplished what they have already is pretty impressive. But they don't feel like the world beater to me. And I still wouldn't pick them in the AFC. Like, I still think Kansas City's better.
Me too.
Than the Pittsburgh Steelers, despite the records of those two football teams right now. But power ranks don't matter, obviously. So
the ESPNs do. Don't kid yourself, pal.
Yeah. Let's go to Darren on the west side. 641-1010. Darren, you're on Jaguars Today. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Okay, so Dempsey, before the schedule ever came out, I called my son the day after I had the dream, the very next day, because he's a huge Steeler fan. Him and a couple of buddies are coming up. We're going to cook out and have steaks and we'll have you a Sunday morning. But they're coming up. So I called him because I had a dream. I've been saving this all season long because I did not know what the Steelers were going to be 9-0 and Jaguars were going to be 1-8 at this point. And I've been screaming for tanking for Trevor for 12 months. So I have this dream that we played the Steelers. Now, granted, this is before the schedule ever comes out. We played the Steelers and we beat the Steelers and it cost us the number one draft pick. So that's all I'm saying. I want it on tape. I want it on record. I'm not saying I'm a prophet. I'm just saying that. And I called him pissed off the next morning. And that was way before the season ever started and everything else. So I just thought it was interesting. I had to share that with you guys. So
well, then
don't be surprised what happens this weekend.
Do your dreams typically come true? What's the last dream you had that came true, Darren?
I'm not really sure. Right. I don't remember most of them. I don't remember. I guess the one after that would have been playing with Michael Jordan in a basketball game, but that never came true.
All right.
Either, so.
Well, all right. Well, you never know. I mean, first time for everything, but I feel a little bit better now that the track record is not as exemplary as it might have been. So
it sounds to me like if the Jags beat Pittsburgh, watch out, MJ.
But yeah.
Here right? comes Derry.
Seriously. Jordan's going to come back too, right? I mean, so, yeah, fantastic. I do feel better that he couldn't come up with a single example, but I mean, look, it would feel good from a lot of standpoints. Mm-hmm. You know, the ideal would be if you're going to beat Pittsburgh and you beat them, and you look back at the end of the season, you realize it wouldn't have mattered. Like yeah. The Jets didn't win a game anyway, so it wouldn't have mattered. You know, if you're still locked into the second pick, and a loss wouldn't have changed anything, then hell yeah. Let's beat the Steelers, man. You know, it would be great. Steeler fans are very easy to get under the skin of, and I would enjoy that.
I am interested to see what the fan breakdown is going to be. with seriously, if it's a full stadium and they're letting everybody in, okay, like it's going to be majority Steelers fans because that's just the way it is
for a
regular season game. But will it be like if there's 16,000 in there, would it be like 10,000 and then 5,000 Jags fans? I'm really eager to see what the breakdown is. I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of Steelers fans
more Pittsburgh fans.
How
this
bad
week.
Will it be?
Because Jaguars fans who are taking a bath on buying tickets this year, like, can sell these at an upfront. Like, it is crazy what you can sell to a Steelers fan to come watch this game this week. So, yeah, it's going to be all Pittsburgh in that building.
I am really eager to see.
If you're a Steeler fan, you can't go to every game,
no.
even if you want to. There's you know, limited capacity or no capacity in many cases. So,
like, I've seen people complaining. They were like, I can't buy tickets for anything. This is what you're charging for nosebleeds? It's like, yeah,
exactly
someone will
right.
pay that for this game because it's Pittsburgh. Next time, you can go back to paying, you know, $15 may get you in the building. I don't
right.
know.
And had all the tickets been bought up, you know, already, there wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't
yeah.
have... I don't know. It is what it is, man.
It's going to be, woo boy. Those That's towels will be waving.
I really am eager to see what it's going to look like. I just don't know. I kind of have a feeling that we may be a little surprised or maybe some more Jags fans there than we think.
I hope so.
But I am really eager to see what it looks like.
We'll find out on Sunday. Let's hear a little bit from Jake Gruden. Let's start right at the top here, E. One guy we haven't talked a lot about this year, one of the three receivers still under contract for 2021, that would be Colin Johnson. What has Jay Gruden seen from the rookie's development?
Well, obviously he's got great length and size. That's great. Now we're just trying to hone in and refine his receiver route running skills. He's a tough kid. Just a matter of really honing in. Keenan's doing a great job with him. You know, is coming in and out of breaks is important. The depth of routes, he's a big target, which is positive. And we're trying to figure out ways to get him more involved, but he's coming along at a good rate.
All right. Well, because
it's good to hear.
He kept saying he's big. He's a big guy. Like, those are not your part of it, his development. You know,
he
is what he is. And I'm glad he said at the end he's coming along well, because, a lot of it was we're trying to get him, it sounded like he's very much a physical specimen. We're teaching him how to play receiver at this level in the National Football League.
Yeah. And he was one of the stars at camp. I think everybody loved watching that kid go up and get a ball, but there is a heck of a lot more to it than that, as we all know. And let's be honest, you're not going to put him on the field over Cole or Chenault or certainly DJ Chark. And if you're in a situation, like this with Chenault not being there, you're going to go with Conley, a veteran guy. So it's probably been hard for him to get on the field a ton. And, it's not easy for rookie receivers to come into this league and make it. Like, that's why what Claypool is doing, and Jefferson and Higgins, those guys, those are special, special guys, because most rookies, it's hard. It's a hard transition. And he was a 6th-round pick for a reason. So.
Yeah, understood. And look, let's hear from another one of these young receivers, Keelan Cole. We mentioned that I'd like to see him back, but it's got to make sense. Where does he fit in on your depth chart? How much is he going to be looking to get paid? But from all the guys that have left over the last few years, several of them certainly weren't happy here. We know who they are. We don't need to go through it. Others were seemingly fine. Like, Calais probably happy to go to a contender, but I don't think Calais would have been miserable had he been here, because he's a pro, and he goes.
Well, and he would have gotten $15 million had he been here too.
There's no question. But, so he's making a little bit less, but he's got an opportunity to win football games. I don't begrudge him his happiness. But Keelan Cole yesterday talked about why he does want to stay in Jacksonville.
Shoot, I'm down. It's 32 teams. I've been on this one team for three-fourths of a year. And like I said, it ain't been the greatest thing, but it's football, and that's what we're here for. We're here to play football. We're obviously here to get paid. And like I said, like he asked about the money. Like, I can't give you the money. I can't really hope for it to come, honestly. I just got to do my part and let everything play its role. But when it comes to being a Jacksonville, I'm not really a party guy or anything, and apparently Jacksonville doesn't have that. So I feel very good here. I like the warm weather. Hate the cold. Shout out to Green Bay. And, I like the warm weather. I like being here. I like being a Jaguar. I'd rather be a Jaguar than a Falcon or, a bird or something. You know what I'm saying?
All right, well, take from that what you will.
There was so much in that
comment. There really is a lot in there. I'm not much of a party guy, and apparently Jacksonville doesn't have that.
I party with Cole before.
Have you?
Yeah, here in Jacksonville.
Yeah?
Yeah, because there's really not much to do as far as the nightlife, and that's what he means.
Like, what do you guys do, watch a movie or something? I just see, sounds like he wants to take it easy.
No, what he means is, like, the city is just not a turn-up city, like in Atlanta or Miami. And so we went to a club, and it just wasn't, it just wasn't all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did all more people recognize you or him?
Well, the spot we went to was kind of like my spot. So, yeah, they didn't really
They had no idea who he was.
And he was just dressed down like a normal guy. He's not flashy or anything.
Yeah, he didn't wear his jersey. Yeah, I wouldn't think.
Hey, look, whatever the reasons, I want guys here who want to be here, right? And he's having a good – it's not like, hey, let's put him on scholarship because we like Keelan Cole and he wants to be here, so we'll take it.
No.
But he's actually playing very well.
No, he's played well enough to earn a second contract. If you can figure out a way to make it work in Jacksonville, I'd be thrilled.
Yeah, and it's just a matter, I don't know what that price point is for Keelan Cole. It is warm here. We'll continue to be warm here.
And we are not a bird.
We don't have a bird or any of that other stuff. And we're not a big party place. And what else? It's warm. Am I leaving anything out?
Shout out Green Bay.
It hasn't necessarily been the best.
Yeah, it hasn't necessarily been the best, right? He's right. He is right about
football
that.
Football is football. I'm just playing football, kind of. Yeah,
football. I could play football here. I could play football there. But here it's warm, and I've been here, and there's no state income tax as well. So, Keelan, just keep making plays, and I think Jaguar fans will be happy, and we'll see if they can get something worked out with you for the long term. All right, we'll come back on the other side. This Dayton football, the gems from around the National Football League, coming up in hour two, Breakfast Bowl Week 11. Who's buying for Week 12? Ain't gonna be me, I'll just tell you that right now. I'll throw that gauntlet down right now. I got too many good players left in my pocket. All right, we'll come back. Tony Smith, D-Rock, ET. I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, just a couple quick birthdays to note for the 19th of November. Go back to 1961. Happy 59th to former Jaguar coach Mike Mularkey. Spent 9 seasons as a tight end in the National Football League, 6 with Minnesota, 3 with Pittsburgh, 2-14 as a head coach in his only season in Jacksonville. That was in 2012. Prior, he had spent 2 years as the head coach of the Buffalo Bills, and after that, 3 as the head coach of the Tennessee Titans. And altogether, Mike Mularkey compiled a coaching record of 36-53. One other birthday to note, happy 34th to Zane Beatles, a one-time Pro Bowler with Denver, which fooled the Jaguars into signing him in free agency. Beatles went on to start all 32 games for the Jags in the 2014 and 2015 seasons at left guard. So happy birthday, Mike Mularkey and Zane Beatles. That's all we have for you today on this date in football history.
Now, gems around the NFL, brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
Reports came out yesterday that most of the Las Vegas Raiders starting defense will not be able to practice this week due to COVID protocols, but those players are all expected to have a chance maybe to still play on Sunday against the Kansas City Chiefs. A Los Angeles Chargers cornerback, Chris Harris, was designated to return off of the team's injured reserve. Harris has not played since week 3 while dealing with a foot injury. The San Francisco 49ers have been awarded defensive end Tack McKinley off waivers after he failed his physical with Cincinnati, was placed back on waivers yesterday. The New York Giants have fired offensive line coach Mark Colombo. There was one story yesterday that said Colombo and Giants head coach Joe Judge got into a physical altercation, but the team has denied that ever happened. What we do know for sure is that Colombo is no longer employed by the New York Giants. Carolina running back Christian McCaffrey is expected to miss the Detroit game on Sunday for the Panthers. It would be the second straight game that McCaffrey has missed while recovering from a shoulder injury that he suffered in his return from an ankle injury that landed him on IR earlier this year. New Orleans Saints quarterback Drew Brees got a second opinion on his rib injuries and has reportedly had the original diagnosis confirmed. Brees will miss at least 2 weeks with the injury. Week 11 in the NFL gets underway tonight with first place in the NFC West on the line as the 6-3 Arizona Cardinals are on the road against the 6-3 Seattle Seahawks. Pete Carroll said on Wednesday that they expect wide receiver Tyler Lockett to play tonight, but said it was unlikely that running back Chris Carson would be able to. The winner of tonight's game will take the division lead at least into the weekend. The loser will drop to 6-4 and will hold just a 1-game lead over the Chicago Bears for the 7th and final spot in the NFC playoff picture. The Bears, at 5-5, have their bye this week. Minnesota and Detroit are 4-5 heading into the weekend. Minnesota hosts Dallas on Sunday. Detroit is at Carolina.
Any truth to when the Giants were getting ready to fire Colombo? Joe Judge had him in the office. Colombo was walking out, and Judge goes, "Oh, yeah, Colombo, just one more thing." Just my wife would get that one. All right, 641-1010. Let's go to Robert on the west side next up here on Jaguars Today. Good morning to the biggest fan of Jaguars Today, at least this week. Robert, good morning. How are you?
How y'all guys doing?
We're well.
Look, I got something to say, and I don't want to get emotional when I say it now.
Okay.
Jacksonville Jaguars have hurt me time and time again. The only thing that keeps me afloat is my Gators and the fact that FSU sucks.
Oh.
And I don't, football is, I don't, I'm not another sport guy. Football, I live in, it's football, football. I don't like basketball, I don't like baseball, I just follow football. So you have to understand how hard it is if you're a Jaguar fan. It's terrible. And those comments that Keelan Cole made about this team and about wanting to be here really made my day. And I want to apologize for ever recommending we trade him.
It's all right, Robert.
It's so hard to find people that want to be here. And for him to really want to be here and to understand how hard it's been and still want to be here and not want to play for any of those birds or any crap like that, he just really made my day to know that we got a real one.
Thank you, Robert. We appreciate that. You're a real one too, man. This guy. I like Robert, man. He is good. Who would want to play for any of those crazy bird franchises, yeah, Tony?
Birds.
That's ridiculous.
Who wants to be a bird?
A bird or any of that crap. Come on. Put it this way. It wasn't the most impassioned, like, I live and bleed teal, you know? No. But I'll take it, you know, as opposed to what we've had. Like, can't wait to get out. Won't show up for $18 million. My back hurts.
Yeah.
You know, all these things. I'll take Keelan Cole.
Sure. It sounded more like a comment from a guy that, you know, isn't in front of the media every week right now. And Keelan Cole had a big week last week. So this week they march him out there to do the conference call. And he knows he's going to get asked at some point about the contract, right? He's a free agent.
Sure.
Having a big year. And what's going to happen with it? And it sounds like a guy that's just like, I don't know. Basically, like, his answer was, I don't know. I'm going to keep playing football. I'd rather be here than a bird. Like, I enjoy the weather. Like, that kind of.
I don't like it up there in Green Bay.
Like, I appreciate that he was willing to be that sarcastic about it. Like, in that moment, you know, someone asks you about your contract and you're like, hey, it's fine here. I'm cool with this. I like Jacksonville. I don't get to party. I'm not a party guy anyway.
Not a party guy. I don't need to party.
Yeah, I don't want feathers. I'm good. I'll take the,
Baby steps, man. You know what? I mean, that is as close to a full-throated endorsement as we've had in a while.
And a pack of Jaguars would be pretty strong on the NFL mascot list. Like, one Jaguar, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, you come in contact with a Patriot, right? He's got the musket. He may be able to handle one Jaguar.
Okay.
You come at him in a pack, though.
Well, but wouldn't the Patriots get an equal amount of guys with muskets?
Yeah, but you only need one guy to get through. That Jaguar's quick, buddy. You only need a couple of them to get through that initial volley against the Patriot with their musket. Yeah, and then it's trouble.
They got to reload those things.
It's trouble with those big cats coming.
Not a good system. Not a well-thought-out system in today's days of automated weapons or automatic weapons. Automated. Sure. There's like robot weapons out there just mowing down packs of random Jaguars.
Yeah. It's not like the Punishers are a mascot, right?
No.
Like, that would be trouble. You had a crew of those guys, Jaguars would be in trouble.
Hey, let's get a couple more in here, E.T., from Jay Gruden, while we've got time, as we await the Breakfast Bowl. And let's start with number three here. We've talked about this now with Chris Thompson going on IR. He takes his 7 carries with him.
Yeah.
No other Jaguar running back other than man, James
Chenault
Robinson.
Chenault has 11 carries on
right,
the year.
Right, but that's the just only as guy a pure running ball, back, hasn't, you know, you haven't lined anybody else back up there and handed them the football. Jay Gruden was asked yesterday, about getting more running backs involved in the game plan.
Yeah, I mean, you'd always like to sprinkle the ball around and make sure James is fresh, especially going into the fourth quarter in some of these close games. But for the most part, you know, we're trying to establish a run and be physical. We know what James can do and what he brings to the table. As long as he's healthy, as long as he's his stamina's in check, then I think he needs to get the ball. So that's the first second down back that you expect. Now, hopefully we can spell him a little bit more. Unfortunately, Chris went out last week early in the game. Thompson. Hopefully we can spell him more with Zigbo or Dari, so we can utilize those guys as well.
DJ Chark on another part of the offense here has not necessarily gotten the kind of volume that we all expected he might get heading here into 2020, though he still has a chance to be a 1,000-yard receiver and will in all likelihood lead the team in receiving. I don't see anyone catching him in that department, but Jay Gruden was asked about Chark not getting quite the volume that was expected this year.
Probably the weather a little bit and us failing on third down early in the game. You know, we had 4 conversions early in the game. We should have converted very easily. Unfortunately, we missed the throw. We dropped the ball. We slipped coming out of a break. And, you know, we had to punt. And there's really no rhyme or reason for it. Just a matter of we got to maintain drives to have more opportunities to get him the ball. Also, we're trying to get James the ball, make a constant effort against Green Bay in that weather to truly try to run the ball. I think he had 22, 23 carries. So all that plays a factor in it. You're trying to be a physical team, establish the run. Obviously, receivers are going to get less targets.
All right, we'll see if James Robinson is able to hold up under what has been a very big workload to this point in time. Limited at practice yesterday with the shoulder issue. D-Rock, any level of concern that you detect with this with James Robinson?
No, I think this is a bit of a cautious thing, which they really need to be at this point of the year.
I mean, he is so much of the offense. Well, it's ridiculous.
All of it at this point almost.
Just about, right?
Yeah, so I think they're going to be smart and careful with him, take the pounding off him during the week, But, man, they don't have anything behind him. I don't know how healthy Ozigbo is going to be. Dare, I don't know how to pronounce the last name. My
Ogunbowale.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ogunbowale, because I just call him Dare because I have butchered it many, many times. I don't know how much work you want to give him. But, you know, Doug Marrone said earlier this week they might add somebody this week. But, again, how much – you know, where could you get someone there? I mean, they need somebody behind him to take a little bit. And that's where having Chenault would help, too, because they could give Chenault a lot more reps back there. I mean, he's all you got, and you don't want to kill the kid.
Right. And Ogunbowale, when he was in Tampa prior to them getting Leonard Fournette and LeSean McCoy as well, they were thought maybe use him kind of in the James White role in a Tom Brady-led offense, that he's a really good pass catcher. And so maybe he ultimately kind of takes on that Chris Thompson role, which wasn't big to begin with, by the way. He'd get maybe a drive a half. And, you know, often in the pure two-minute drill is when he would be in, literally at the last 2 minutes of the half. But other times when the Jags were in – I mean, look, Robinson's shown he's a pretty good receiver out of the backfield.
Pretty good receiver, pretty decent pass
and
protector.
He's dangerous as hell with the ball in his hands.
Yes.
So.
Yes. And you know, obviously, Raekwon Armstead was figuring heavily in the rotation before the season, even after they let Leonard go. You know, and that's obviously fallen apart because of him being on COVID, the COVID list, and dealing with the virus and stuff.
How is he? Do we know how he's doing?
He was hospitalized at least once, but is still recovering at this point.
I mean, this is a long stint for a guy with COVID.
Him to see if there was any interest in talking. Through his agent, and
wish him the best. Yeah. You know, I mean, certainly for a full recovery, football will be there waiting for you. You know, when you're ready to go, so get well. And I mean, it's like, you know, David Johnson, Houston put him on, gets a concussion from the hit from Miles Jack, and Houston puts him on IR. You know, that is a significant
concussion, right?
He's dealing with some significant repercussions from that. That they know he's going to miss a minimum of 3 games.
Repercussions from the concussion.
Yes, I know. I just very, very carefully separated those. All right, we'll come back. It's breakfast bowl time. Find out who's buying me a fruit bowl next week. All right, we'll do that next with ET, with D-Rock, with Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today rolls on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. That's what you get, D-Rock.
Bad guy.
Bad person.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Tomorrow, first pick. Justin Herbert. You know he is, right? We might as well just pencil it in right now for D-Rock. Doesn't really matter because he's buying breakfast for the crew.
All Jags, all NFL. Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
That was a blast from a
There was a little bit of derision in your voice there. I don't think I like that.
How do you pick against the Jaguars on a program entitled Jaguars Today?
Well, get ready for today.
How do you do it? Hey, there may come a time.
I'm going to bet that by the time it's all done today, Juju, Connor, Ben, Claypool, maybe even Deontay Johnson will all be gone today.
Let's see. I've used Ben. I've used Connor. I've used Juju. I can't help you. So,
let's see.
Maybe you'll leave me Deontay Johnson. We'll see. We'll see how it works out. All right. Gallows humor, everybody. All right. Last week, D-Rock was a miserable selector of players. He stole Jared Goff, and then karma bit him squarely on the posterior. Aaron Jones. You see, that's what you get. You play Aaron Jones against this run defense, you get shut down. Michael Thomas continues to stink. In Hockenson, you had Jerry Jeudy.
How can Michael Thomas stink?
He continues to stink.
How is that possible?
Don't know. 43.7 points is what you mustered together. Tony put together 47. E.T.,
yeah.
Sweating it out on Monday Night Football with Dalvin Cook.
I did.
Got 49.6, and I have 65.2 from last week. A low-scoring week all around, but D-Rock, now I'm breathing down your neck.
You are.
Less than 14 points behind you for the overall. You're at 833 and change. I'm at 819 and change. E.T.'s got 768.5, and Tony's at 710. Long way to go. Draft order is D-Rock, Tony, E.T., myself. We draft a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and a flex player. Can be any position other than a quarterback. Point per reception scoring is in effect. You can only use one player. Each player you use one time all season, and if somebody takes him in that week, nobody else can have him. So, D-Rock, first pick is yours.
Give me Big Ben!
Ben Roethlisberger.
Gosh, man. Do you not remember 5 interceptions? We may retire him by halftime this time around. Tony, where are you going here?
I will go DeAndre Swift.
You son of a gun. I can always pick Tony's first pick. The one I would take.
He would have been mine. Me. He wouldn't have made it.
All right, he wouldn't have made it. All right, off the board he
Tragic,
goes. Man. E.T.
All right, I'm going to go with my boy Josh Jacobs, man.
Josh Jacobs, all right. He saved my bacon last week, yes, I got to say, man, because I had 3 guys in that and Cleveland rain monsoon, yeah. All of them playing for the Texans.
I mean, 29 almost covered all of us.
I know. I still whipped up on all y'all. You see, E.T. thinks he's got me pegged what I'm doing this week.
Oh.
Because I've got Kyler and Hopkins anytime I want them because you guys have both used all of them.
Uh-huh.
I'll take Justin Herbert against the Jets.
No!
Thank you very much.
I should have took him first.
You should have took him first. And I will pair him with Hunter Henry at tight end. There's my hookup.
Okay.
Of the week, E.T.
That totally messes
me up. Well, I'm glad it did, sir.
All right, man. Lockett, come on, man.
Tyler Lockett. Tyler Lockett. All right, questionable to play.
Hey, come on. Stop.
Let's say it. Let's throw it out there. They expect him to play. He did have 53 PPR points against Arizona in the first matchup this year. So
he was very good because I had him that week.
Yes, that you did have him that week.
I
right?
did.
You're still barely hanging on. All right, Tony Smith, you got DeAndre Swift.
I have Terry McLaurin.
Terry McLaurin off the board. D-Rock, back to you for back-to-back Steelers. I mean picks.
I just don't like you.
ESPN Jaguars reporter Mike DiRocco selects.
Nick Chubb.
Chubb.
And he's going to take.
Which Steeler receiver should I go for?
Oh, he's thinking about it. He's thinking about it. He's going to take Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen. A lot of drama on that selection there.
Yes.
All right, Tony Smith, dragging back it out. To you.
Let's see.
It's getting a little more sparse right now, right?
Yeah.
Just a little bit. A little bit.
Patrick Mahomes.
Mahomes. Only reason I didn't take Mahomes is with have. That many guys on the COVID list for the Raiders, a little leery about that game he played this week. Just a smidge. Just a tiny, tiny smidge. E.T., you need a quarterback, a tight end, or a flex?
Chase Claypool.
You guys are shameless.
I'm not a bad guy, though.
Shameless. No, you're both bad people. I'm not that worried, though, Tone. I'm going to take Tyreek Hill,
mm-hmm.
wide receiver, and where do I want? I'm going to go with make sure triple check that I haven't used him. Antonio Gibson as my running back. E.T., quarterback or a tight end, bud?
Gronk
it is. Saving that quarterback for last because everyone else has one. Tony, tight end or a flex?
Tight end or a flex. I will go Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby Myers was on my flex list this week. All right, off the flex list this week. Let's go to D-Rock. Back-to-back, tight end and a flex.
Yeah, let me take Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, I thought you spelled that E-B-R-O-N. Is that not right?
No, I think not. And I'm not going to do it. I'm really not going to do it. I'm going to take T. Higgins.
T. Higgins, all right. Done. Tony Smith, need a tight end.
Dalton Schultz, please.
Schultz knows nothing. E.T., quarterback.
Matty Ice.
Ryan, nobody taking Jameis against that Atlanta Falcon defense this week.
I'm straight.
And a flex. I'm going to start saving some running backs here. Boy. I'm going to go with Justin Jefferson at the flex.
Mr. Gritty.
Could have gone with Thielen either way, but I like Jefferson. All right, here we go. D-Rock has Ben Roethlisberger. Nick Chubb, Keenan Allen, Dallas Goedert, and T. Higgins. Tony Smith goes with Patrick Mahomes, DeAndre Swift, Terry McLaurin, Dalton Schultz, and Jacoby Myers. E.T. has Matt Ryan, Josh Jacobs, Tyler Lockett, Rob Gronkowski, and Chase Claypool. And I go with Justin Herbert, Antonio Gibson, Tyreek Hill, Hunter Henry. If I said that backwards, I had Henry Hill on my team. And Justin Jefferson. There you go. Squads are all locked and loaded. Breakfast Bowl Week 11. Is in the books right there. I would say on paper, D-Rock's team's probably got the most cachet for the week. But
I wanted to take Claypool, too, by the way.
Did you?
I did, but I'm like, I better not.
Why Claypool? Like, seriously, if you think one of those Steelers receivers getting beyond.
Big play. Yeah, I think he's a guy that's, you know.
Jags have been known to give up a big play. In the last couple of
games. Some stuff has happened there, and I think, there's a chance that he could end up on C.J. Henderson, and, you know, Henderson's been burned deep the last couple of weeks. So
yeah.
I'm all in on Ben Roethlisberger, though.
I see that. We all see exactly what's going on with that. All
taking
right.
Baker next week.
It is going to get interesting as we get down to the last few weeks, how far down the list you go.
Not going to take Foles in December, though.
No?
Nope. Not going to take Foles.
Not going to do it?
Or Trubisky.
I hope by then that a win does not matter to hurt the Jaguars' draft chances. Chicago's looking better and better.
Ooh, that's a bad team. That's a bad offense. That is
terrible.
That is
offense. Defense,
awful to watch.
Defense really good. Offense it was hard to stomach.
Kind of reminds me of that 18, or excuse me, the 16 offense a little bit. Because they had, you know, Blake didn't play great, but they had A-Rob, but they really couldn't get anything going.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It was hard to watch at times. And the 18 offense, that was hard to watch at times too. And the 19.
Well, if you want the Jaguars to win games down the stretch, which I'm sure many do, right? And others want them to preserve the draft position. But if you want them to win games, the good news is Nick Foles is expected to return after the bye. So you got that. No broken hip. They were fearful of a really significant injury when he got slammed down the other night. All right, when we come back on the other side, we will not only ask you and tell you who you submitted as your favorite moments and memories, or what you submitted as your favorite moments and memories from the Jaguars-Steelers rivalry, we'll recall some of our own as well as we go through the matchups throughout time. With Tony Smith, with D-Rock, with ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. You're listening to Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And those comments that Keelan Cole made about this team and about wanting to be here really made my day. And I want to apologize for ever recommending we trade him. Because it's so hard to find people that want to be here. And for him to really want to be here and to understand how hard it's been and still want to be here and not want to play for any of those birds or any crap like that, he just really made my day to know that we got a real one.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Keelan's a real one. He likes it warm, not cold. He's been here, so why not just stay here? Not
hasn't always
guy.
Been good here, though, is what
hasn't
he said.
Always been good. No, we don't like the party that much, so that fits his attitude. Hey, I'm just happy he's playing well. Huge game last week, obviously, with the punt return and the touchdown catch. Keep it up. Look, you need some targets playing well. Do you get any sense that LaVisca Chenault's anywhere close or where – you know what? Any
a lot of it will depend on what he does in practice today. But I
do we have a practice report out yet?
Not yet.
I've not seen
not
one.
Yet. No, Doug said he wasn't looking good, so I'm not expecting him to play this week. And it's a hamstring, man. And those things, guys can play with hamstrings, but then you recognize you have a much higher chance of tweaking it, ending up out for three more weeks or two more weeks. I mean, the only way really to fix a hamstring is to just shut it down for a month, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks, and they can't do that. I mean, you can't do that at this point. So these guys keep trying to play through it, and that's why guys re-injure it so often. That's why a guy like Marquise Lee, when he had it way back in his rookie year, and then the second year, I believe, and you know, you come back a week or two, you feels good, then you open it up, and then you tweak it again, and now you're down for two or three more weeks. So I'm not expecting him to play this week.
Understood. All right. I was saying, the importance of having good targets, duh, but particularly when you're trying to evaluate a young quarterback, you know, to have some reliable guys right out there. So having Chark and Cole is a necessity to have any clue
and Conley
well
being
Jake
a
Luton's
vet
playing.
And being
sure
around the league for a while, knowing, I mean, that helps. You know, it's not like they have to thrust Colin Johnson in that role, you know,
right,
where you're throwing to a rookie with another rookie and this kid's not as advanced as you'd want him to be. So
all right,
that's not bad.
Here, we'll give you our favorite, if you have one. Do you have a favorite memory from the Jags Steel? You don't have to tell me what it is yet, but do you have one
yeah,
you consider
I do
your favorite? All right,
I
so
do.
We had the question of the day is, what are your three favorite moments or memories? Because we assumed that a lot of them would involve the David Garrard run, the victory, that first playoff victory against them. And not only that, but we just wanted to give you a chance to expound a little bit. And we'll read through those here coming up in a moment. Your three favorite moments or memories from the Jaguars-Steelers series over the years. I'll give you my 10-10 take on it right now.
10-10. This 10-10 take is brewed by Cigar City Brewing. Hi-Li IPA and Hi-Low IPA. Two tropically inspired beers that have you covered for any occasion.
All right, for me, it's very easy, and it is the one that I thought that I'm sure we did get a lot of response about, was that playoff game up in Pittsburgh in 2007. That was a year that I traveled to every road game covering the games for 1010XL, so I'd been up there earlier in the season and saw that amazing fan base, that better than everyone else's fan base, emptying that stadium well before the final gun. It was kind of crazy how they were filing out, or how they tended to file out early in Pittsburgh if things weren't going well, just like anywhere else. But in the playoffs, back in the day, every NFL team let you go down on the sideline at the two-minute warning if you're up in the press box,
yeah.
Right? Most media were allowed down if you wanted to get that on-field view, and it was a lot of fun. Particularly, I started going to Jag games as a member of the media in 96 and remembering being on those sidelines when the stadium was going absolutely crazy, and it was an amazing experience. But then 2001, 9/11 came along, and a lot of teams, for safety reasons, didn't allow that anymore. They wanted to keep the sidelines less congested, but Pittsburgh still allowed it to happen. And in 2007, I remember leaving the press box and going downstairs and watching in a little room at the bottom right by the elevator as the game was still going on, watching Garrard's run on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
So now I know the Jags are in position to win this football game. So I'm able to walk down. The Jags were on the far side from where you came out of the press tunnel. So I'm walking down, and I'm literally behind the goalposts as Scobie kicks the game-winning field goal. And it was just like, at the time, there's still seconds on the clock.
Right.
But it's like, they're going to win this game. Of course, Pittsburgh still had time. They got the ball back. Jags forced a turnover. And by that time, I'd worked my way over to where I was standing right next to the team on the Jaguar sideline and just felt the rush as they swarmed the field and congratulated each other as that game ended. And thinking, just what a great season. You know, that win. And then they, of course, would go on to play New England very tough when the Patriots were undefeated. But for me, just to have that perspective of it was really, really cool and one of my favorite memories from covering the team in all the many years. So I'll put that one at the top in terms of the Pittsburgh Steelers series. That's my 10-10 take for the day. Tony Smith, what's your number one for you?
Number one is probably the angriest I've ever seen my mom at my dad. In 1995, the first year of the Jags, obviously, they beat Pittsburgh here at home that year. And my mom had grown up in a Steelers household. Her father had grown up in Altoona, right outside of Pittsburgh. So they were Steelers fans. My dad really never cared about any NFL team. So he had the opportunity to go. My mom was supposed to take my grandfather, who was a big Steelers fan. He couldn't make the trip down, so she went with my dad instead. My dad apparently was not pulling for the Steelers next to my mom while sitting in her father's seat for that football game. She was very upset. Like, they came back in through the door, and my mom didn't say a word. It's the only time in my life I've ever seen my mom mad enough that she just left the house. Without saying a word, she just drove away from the house, and I look at my dad. I'm like, what did you do? And he said, I have no idea why she's so mad at me. I had a good time at the game. And like, she got back home and just laid into him about sitting in her dad's seat and not pulling for the Steelers, pulling for these Jaguars. It was, I mean, looking back, it's hilarious. But it's the angriest I've ever seen my mom at my dad was that first Steelers game.
Wow, and that's your favorite memory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your parents all, heck, you would have loved my house as a kid. All right.
We wasn't even sure if mom was ever coming back. Were you,
wow.
Tony?
All right, D-Rock, for you, what is it?
Yeah, everybody's got to remember now, I'm not a fan, okay?
Sure.
So that's going to play into this a little bit. But watching Bill Cowher like almost step out on the field and try and punch Chris Hudson and pull him back. That to me is one of the funniest moments on a football field that I've ever seen. And that to me is going to be at the top of my list.
I think it was real, you know, just like and good on him for not, because I have snap emotional swings. you may have noticed over my tenure on the air, and you know, I could totally relate to Bill Cowher in that instant. Just wanted to just like, it's not Chris Hudson's fault. He didn't do anything wrong. You know, that's his job.
Picked up the block field goal. Can you imagine? There's a part of me that wishes he had done it just to see what the heck would have happened. It would have been unbelievable.
Wouldn't it? I mean, it would have been Woody Hayes part two.
Oh, my God.
Right? He would have had to have been fired.
And can you imagine Coughlin screaming across the field at him?
Coughlin running across.
That's what I mean. Like,
running across the field.
Oh, can you imagine Coughlin and Cowher throwing fists there on the sideline? It would have been unbelievable. But that's always going to be the
Cowher
favorite
in
memory.
That one, actually.
You think?
Yeah, I think I would. I would take Cowher in that one. ET, do you have a favorite Jag Steelers series memory?
It got to be Fournette when he waved Buddy over.
Come on, you know, get some of this.
Being a former running back, I used to like contact and just seeing him doing that. It's like, oh yeah, this boy mean business.
Now I can imagine, had you been a young running back and seen Fournette do that, you would have incorporated that into your game.
Come on, huh? I was doing that already.
Oh, is that where Fournette got it?
Possibly.
Didn't want to throw it out there.
Old YouTube highlights.
Well, I did. Yeah. I did wear 7 in high school.
Come on,
all right.
Okay.
Like, I saw one of the listeners send in the Monday Night Football win, the 9-0 win, that year in 2006. I can remember being downstairs for that win with Roethlisberger. He had been sick that week. That offseason had been the motorcycle accident with Roethlisberger that year as well. We get the opportunity to go into the locker room after games and did up until this year. And you see a bunch of guys, like, they are in a state after an NFL football game. They're beat up. They're worn down. Roethlisberger looked like a walking corpse. Like, after that, he was so drained after that. Like, I have never seen another football player that just looked as gone as Roethlisberger looked after that 9-0 loss. And, you know, they don't score at all that night. He was playing really sick on top of everything. I mean, yeah, it's the closest I thought, like, had ever been in a locker room to, this guy's just going to collapse right here, right now. And he still went out and did his post-game media press conference and all that stuff, too. And that visitor's little closet that you used to have for the players to talk.
Another one of my favorite ones was, and I don't remember the exact score, but it was, I think, Sunday Night Football. And I've mentioned this a few times. Scobie was lining up for a 60-yarder to win it. And some member of the Pittsburgh media, this is like, again, final 2 minutes, you go out on the field, but you wanted to get yourself ultimately in the team meeting room, which is where the coach's press conference, which was like the first thing that you were doing unless you're going to open locker room. So I'm in the team meeting room, and we're plugging in our recorders and whatever, and so they have a couple of TVs set up, and the Steelers are winning, but Scobie can win it with a 60-yarder, and the Steeler media guy is like, come, this is stupid. Why are you even trying this? And I'm like, just wait, watch and see. Like, you hadn't, Scobie was young. You hadn't seen a whole lot, I think, yet, and he missed it wide. Yeah. He wasn't short.
Right.
He missed it wide. And I remember that guy, like, wow. You know, just like, holy crap. Of course, they lost the game, but that stands out in my memory as well. Here's a few that we got on Twitter today from Cristiano Gerard. Scramble, Rasheen pick 6, and the game he attended just 2 years ago despite the loss, making the way up from Brazil. here's a good one. From Professor Floyd, Plexico spiking the ball after a catch in the middle of the field for no reason and ended up being ruled a fumble. It was tremendous.
If his nickname isn't still Spike on Pro Football Reference, they're doing it wrong.
Oh, my gosh. The 2017 AFC Divisional Playoffs, obviously, and Freddie T tearing up that particular corner of the end zone at Heinz Field. Let's see. Odie goes with the pick 6 for Rasheen, the Gerard run. Ramsey's side flying interception. There you go. Those are his top 3. Hate to say it, but hell of a play. That's all right. Jalen made some really good plays. Cowher trying to hit Chris Hudson on a return from Big Will. Big Ben, maybe I don't have any more, game with the 5 interceptions and the Monday night 9-0. The best defensive performance I ever saw. Stroud, Henderson, and Mike P were dominant back in 2006. Thank you, Will. Marvin said, September 18th, 2006, Monday Night Football, the 9-0. Best game I ever attended. Energy was electric from kickoff until the end of the game. Remember watching when I got home, Mike Pete gave an epic intro. Welcome to Duval, prepare to be hit. Making boat trips to Pittsburgh during the 2017 playoff run. Lenny going nuts on the ground while we picked Big Ben off multiple times. Tyler said the first win in 2017, my first time at a bar for my 21st birthday. Counting that as two. And then, of course, the amazing shootout in the playoffs the same year. Fournette waving on Mike Mitchell, getting a lot of love. Beating the Steelers for the first victory in franchise history, first home victory in franchise history. Let's see, the block kick in prime time that sent them through the playoffs. Let's see, the summoning is what Baxter calls
that's
Leonard
nice.
Fournette waving him over.
You know what I'll never forget
either? A lot of great
either?
Ones in there.
I'll never forget. This is 1 week after watching the Jaguars turn to Ben Koyak to save their season in the playoffs. They turn to Tommy Bohannon to catch that touchdown pass. Two great play calls.
Off
that's
sneaky
Jags.
Yeah,
that's what I will. That's a memory I'll have. Like, we're in the press box, and I'm like, oh my God, he threw it to the fullback. It was unbelievable. One of the ones I'll always remember.
If you want to have a little bit of fun, Jaguar fans, go to my Twitter feed and you can look at a lot of the responses. A lot of people are putting in videos of their favorite plays, pictures of their favorite moments. So there's a lot of good stuff in there at MD_1010XL. D-Rock, I'm going to say goodbye to you now. Tony's going to do crosstalk with you and Matt Hayes here coming up momentarily.
Tea time getting a little close, isn't it?
I got to go. I got a little interview for the pregame show. I got to go squared away. But what do you got coming up at ESPN.com?
Well, I ran a story this week about the 100 losses, or 99 losses out to be 100. And then, we'll just have some nothing big planned for the rest of the week. Just, LaVisca Chenault update. Maybe another thing on Jake Luton, or however you want to pronounce it, man. Right.
Thanks for the fruit bowl, buddy. Yeah,
probably Luton,
you.
Because that's how it's pronounced. Yeah, that's really how it's pronounced, right?
We're going to go with
Luton.
Hey, people Luton. On people
I got
on,
a Luton the other day.
People on local television. It's Luton, okay? Luton. He's been the starter now for a couple of games. Learn it. All right, with that, we'll say hello to XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
The fan-favorite Chili Con Queso is back. A mix of Moe's famous queso, jalapenos, and ground beef. Order at Moe's.com or through the Moe's app.
As we say hello to Matt Hayes, and do you have a favorite Jaguars-Steelers memory over the years?
Well, first I want to say, where did Luton come from?
People say it. Yeah. I don't know. I just had someone ask me about him last week, and they said
there are actually TV people
Luton.
In this city that call him Luton.
Well, I got it from somewhere else out of the city. Someone said that. No, there was allegedly one reporter that was just saying, Luton, how do we say this? Luton?
Isn't there phonetic spelling on the Jaguars website?
I don't know if it's on the website, but it's on the flip card every week. I do know that.
Yeah.
That's
pretty weird. Yeah. Tony, I would say all things 2017 playoff.
Okay.
Just that entire year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've had, it is crazy with, this hasn't been an organization that's been consistently at the top, obviously, but they had that run when they came in from 95 through 2000.
What an understatement that is.
But what they have done since they have been inaugurated as an NFL team, they have gone toe-to-toe with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Every iteration of this franchise has gone toe-to-toe with the Pittsburgh Steelers. They're 12-12 in the regular season all time. 2-0 in the games that matter in the playoffs against Pittsburgh. I mean, it's pretty incredible.
Strange, right?
Yeah, it's incredible that they get up for this one the way that they have since 95. They've always gotten up for this.
Why wouldn't they get up for, I don't know, Titans?
We can see.
Yeah. Texans? The Colts?
Tennessee feels like one of those 99 is that it hangs over their head, and I don't – the only way to get rid of 99, it's to beat them in a playoff game.
Right.
2-0 in the regular season, not good enough.
Right.
The only way 99 ever goes away, you got to win a playoff game at some point against the Tennessee Titans or win the Super Bowl before they do. It's one of those two things.
It's certainly bizarre. It's the whole idea of how this franchise, quote-unquote, plays well against the Steelers is just absolutely
12-12.
Bizarre.
It's 12-12.
Bizarre.
I mean, and this was mostly against
– that's their best record,
really
I would guess,
good teams.
Against anyone, right?
I think they have a winning record against – maybe Cincinnati? Yeah, I want to say. I don't have in front of me, but I know –
Jets,
yeah.
I don't know what their record would be all
time.
So if it's one of those two, that doesn't count. Yeah.
it doesn't make sense.
No, not
I mean,
at all.
But that was the measuring stick for this franchise. That's what they measured themselves against.
the early days of the franchise.
Yeah, all of it would make sense until this week. There's no reason for the Jaguars to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. Like, there's nothing on paper that you'd look at and say, well, they're tough here. No. Like, there is no reason to think they should beat Pittsburgh. This would be the one that you're like, how the heck? That'll make you believe that it's just something about that uniform that gets them up, man.
If it happens this week, it's going to be something more than about the uniform. It's going to be some kind of voodoo that they do.
Mike and I kicked this around yesterday for a few moments. The idea, if I told you the Jaguars are going to win one more game, but it's only going to be one. They're going to win one more game this year. Would you rather be Pittsburgh on Sunday or Tennessee?
Ooh. I don't think they'd want to lose at home to Tennessee.
I don't know if he's going to play anymore, but I would rather be the Bears if Nick Foles is playing, but I don't know if he's going to play the rest of the season.
You'd choose Chicago.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if fans would be okay with losing to the Titans at home again.
What if it was the only one that Pittsburgh lost? 15-1. You're the reason they didn't get an undefeated season.
Yeah, that'd be pretty impressive.
That one lives forever. That'd you might have felt good. We didn't lose to the Titans at home. Big deal.
Yeah.
You see that 15-1? We're the one, baby.
Right.
We're the one. We shut down the Coliseum. We're the one.
Plus, if the Steelers went on to win the Super Bowl, it would be the most bizarre thing that would be never forgotten in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, we all know who beat the 85 Bears. The Dolphins beat the Bears on Monday Night Football. It's the only game they lost that year. I don't know who all they beat, but I know they lost to Miami. You know, that 85 team, and that they beat New England in the Super Bowl. What do you guys got coming up today on XL Primetime?
I mean, years from now, decades from now, they could have moved to London, changed the name, everything.
There he goes.
What were they before they were in London? Weren't they the team that beat the Steelers?
They were the team that beat the Steelers in 2020.
Yeah, maybe that is the big one. We always have a lot of Leon's teammates, former teammates from the league, and one of our favorite guys is LeVon Kirkland, so he'll be on today.
Very cool.
Former Steeler. Former Clemson Tiger. He's awesome, man. His stories are fantastic. We've had him on a couple times before. So he'll come down and he'll break down some all things Steelers-Jags today.
Very cool. We'll be listening, Maddie.
All right. Thanks, guys.
XL Primetime coming up next. D-Rock, we already know what you got coming up. So let's get a pick officially from you. Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go Pittsburgh 31, Jacksonville 14.
Okay.
I think it'll be close. I mean, well, that's the spread. What's this, 10 points, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So I think the Steelers do cover. But I don't think it's going to be like a 30-point blowout or something like that.
Yeah, and apparently based on your fantasy picks, you are expecting a pretty big day for Mr. Roethlisberger.
I'm expecting four of those, or 28 of those to be off of his right arm.
Yeah, he does not expect another, maybe I don't have it anymore, performance this week from Ben. We'll talk to you again next week, D-Rock, and have fun this weekend.
I will. You too, guys.
Heading out there and covering this team as they go head-to-head with Pittsburgh on Sunday. That'll do it for us here today. For Mike Dempsey, for ET, for Mike DiRocco, I'm Tony Smith. Back with you again tomorrow. Tom McManus will join us in studio for a Friday edition of Jaguars Today. XL Primetime with Hacker, Joe C., Matt Hayes, and Leon Searcy coming up next here on 1010 XL.
And I got one more thing to say.